Hello, you guys. So I hope everybody's doing really well. It is a Sunday morning and I'm still in London, which I say still in London as if like you're listening and you know that I'm here or that I made it clear that I'm here. But I'm in London. I'm about to drink some coffee and then go for just an easy run today. And so I thought I would do a little bit of an update, mainly because I've been useless at giving updates. And although I post consistently on social media, the more I learned about, like, I don't know, call it YouTube or things like this, you have to kind of, I guess, just like get to the point is what you could say. Whereas I often, when I start discussing, I don't know, how things are going, I get a little bit sidetracked. Now, that said, the interesting thing about YouTube or anything in life, fuck me, as if I'm gonna go here with this, like, but honestly, the interesting thing about anything in life or even YouTube, you're better being yourself. You know, I kind of watch some videos back, and like the only part of the video that maybe doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense because I've possibly like cut a bit of that video out to try to bend the rules around YouTube to kind of like make the video shorter because that's the like rules of YouTube. Not rules, but you get what I'm saying. But like I'm then kind of like, give it now that like what I've just said doesn't really make total sense. You can make some sense of it, but like sometimes, I don't know, sometimes it takes me a while to explain what it is I'm trying to say. In other words, it's took me 2 minutes to tell you that I'm doing an update because on YouTube, I don't really do full updates anymore. I talk as much as I can about the topic of perhaps that video, but I don't necessarily talk about like just how are things generally, where are we at, you know, whether that's psychologically or physically with injuries and stuff, or just, you know, how's the training actually looking. I think I've touched on it briefly now in a few videos that the goal for like January, and a very, very interesting thing that I'm gonna say is I kind of had this like, it's not like an epiphany, but don't get me wrong, I raced really well at Dublin and I'm really proud of that effort. And anyone that, you know, is new to the podcast and Dublin was big because I hadn't really performed, if we're being honest, in probably like I don't know, a year, maybe like two. And like I had performed, you know, I'd gone out there and I'd got close, and I'm so grateful that, you know, I have these amazing like followers, you could say, that like, oh, I'm gonna now get upset, but like probably just get me and understand me. So when I don't, like at Rotterdam, when I didn't finish it off, like that was an underperformance for me because the black and white version of this world is that you're a 209 marathon runner. You're paid to be a 209 marathon runner. You're supported by your country to be a 209 marathon runner. So when you don't finish the job off, it's like you've underperformed. Like we're supporting you to be a 209 marathon runner. You didn't finish the job off. And so that was probably the story for, I don't know, the best part of like 2 years, but I don't know, my like following, you could say, like treats me as if like that entire time, like I was just performing. It's like I couldn't do any wrong. Like if I chose not to stand on a start line, there was always a team of people there, like, man, you'll get it for the next one. If I stood on the start line and then didn't race like terribly well, it was like, yeah, don't worry, man. Like the next one will go really well. And it's kind of like, what have I done to be so deserving of, you know, that level of support? But it makes sense to me. And that's how I know that the people that, you know, do follow me and do support me, I know that they get me and they get life and they understand that it's not this just simple go about your business and, crack on with the training and then go perform. We all have ups and downs, things we go through, and sometimes the training does go better than the race result shows. And then sometimes if you're not psychologically totally in it, it doesn't make you a bad person. It might make you a bad athlete for that period of time, which is simply a matter of fact, but it doesn't make you a bad person or any of these sort of things. Maybe in some ways it makes you a bad employee, if we're being completely honest. But again, if we come back to the, life's pretty short and you're just a person at the end of the day, then it's not as deep. So Dublin, okay, so if just to summarize there, that took 4 minutes to say that it had been a roughish couple of years. It was also probably a thank you that, I like I've talked about before, I don't know what I did to deserve people to probably care like they do and understand like they do, but it's pretty awesome. So that took 4.5 minutes now. But getting on to Dublin was pretty epic. It was good to punch a good result out there. I know I built it up as this, I really want to make the Olympics and this sort of stuff. And don't get me wrong. Let me be completely honest. The Olympics was a bloody awful experience. If I'm being very honest with you, and I don't want to sound like ungrateful and I don't want to sound like I'm undeserving, but it was probably one of the worst race experiences of my life. I went in underprepared. That didn't help. That never helps. And that's on me, right? But it was a really tough experience. I'm a big, big boy for the marathon. I stand on the start line sometimes and I'm like, jeepers, and I'm weighing in at like 70 kg and I'm looking across me and I'm looking at like 50 kg, 50, 51, 52. And I'm like, well, we know who's going to handle the heat a little bit better today. And it's just by matter of fact, like heat and running and body weight, it's science. It's a fact. I don't have a negative outlook on this. I did runs at super high temperatures. I did long runs at super high temperatures to do all the, acclimating and all this sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's still tough for me. So again, the Olympics was a really tough experience for me. I felt probably really depressed after the Olympics, really sad that, I didn't think that the reward for making it to the Olympics was supposed to be a feeling, like that. I didn't think that was like the reward. You've kind of worked like really hard, and I just didn't, believe that was like the big reward of like, yes, this is what you've earned. This is what you deserve. You deserve this Olympics. So that, that seems pretty, probably like tough and harsh on the Olympics, but like honestly, that was just the reality. And I think there was something cool happens in that context, because what we tend to do generally speaking now in life is that we look at things and we think this, like the grass is greener on the other side. Or that on the other side of this achievement, or on the other side of me being capable of doing this, there's going to be this big release of happiness, or this big release of I'm going to feel something different. I'm going to feel something different about myself, right? And that's not really the case, is what I'm telling you. It's not that I didn't want to go to the Olympics for Ireland. It's not that I didn't want to represent my country. It's not that I didn't want to win the fucking thing. Again, excuse my language. I wish all of the above. Like, come on, who wouldn't, This is not like a, oh my God, he was so blah, blah, blah to go to the Olympics and he's talking like he didn't care. I'm just telling you, matter of fact, we build these things up to be this amazing thing. And the reality is sometimes is it's not. And that is why it's so important in life to really lean into, you know, God, here he goes, really lean into the process. But I'm being serious. It is, right? Because the process is actually probably like the best part of all this, you know? Having some kind of, I get up in the morning and you know, I had a, maybe that's actually why I'm talking about this. You don't even know that's the way life is. I had a lovely comment on YouTube today. It was an absolutely lovely comment. It was, I think it was, why am I not the 5K and 10K world champion yet? You know, all this effort and busy, why do I even bother? Some kind of comment like that. It was a bit longer than that. But if you're like me, you skim read. I skim read. Whoop, 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 whoop. And then I kind of get to the punchline, and the punchline's like, why do you bother? I'm like, oh, nice. So my reply, and I very rarely reply. Most of the time I just block people, but I've kind of like moved on from like the kind of, I'll block people and delete the comment. And now I'm kind of, because I very rarely get comments like this. But my reply was, and this is so true, it was like, why do you bother? And my reply was just mental health. And then they also, I think, asked a few times that maybe I should just get a job and do some work. And I was like, well, I think I fucking spent, excuse my language, about 10 hours yesterday editing a YouTube video and filming little bits for it. And it's like, well, I work quite a lot, brother. And it was like, and I'm laughing because, like, honest to God, if I didn't try with the running stuff and I didn't work at all, well, then that comment might have actually upset me a little bit. But I work really hard, probably marginally too hard sometimes, which, you know, then eats into the running and the recovery and this sort of thing. And that's a balance. But I just love what I do, you know. I think I'm starting to get like a hunchback, I told the physio, because I'm probably leaning over it like the MacBook or you know, whatever it is I'm doing, like editing stuff. And the time and detail that goes into what I do, and I'm going to sound arrogant here or like I'm bragging, but you don't get to almost 250,000 followers on Instagram and almost 100K on YouTube without work. Like work, you know? I don't put a reel together by just like clicking go. You know, there's a lot of editing goes into these. There's a lot of time is spent on little details within these. And for some people, that is the most ridiculous thing in the world. But for me, it became a passion. So I kind of lost trail of thought there. I know I do. I'm coming back to the mental health part. Olympics, of course, I want to make the Olympics, right? But I changed everything, my entire approach recently, as in the last, like, probably the last month. Jakob Ingebrigtsen, who, if you don't know who Jakob is, probably worth a Google search. He's pretty good at what he does. He said something lately that was like, it was basically having a pop at, he wasn't having a pop at me because he knows I exist, but only because like I'm friends with his brother. He doesn't know who I exist because we race each other. So he was not having a pop at me, but it was like, he was having a pop at like these other, you know, guys that he's racing against who are legends of the sport, like Jake Whiteman and Josh Kerr. It wasn't actually Jake, I don't think. It was probably more Josh. But he's having a little pop at them, like probably like kind of calling them like influencers, which is weird. They have been posting a bit, but they're also world champions. So like, you know, it's kind of cool. But basically what he was saying was like he was basically saying he could, if he wanted, you know, post things and get paid a lot of money, and he doesn't. I kind of think you can do both, which I think is important. But Jakob's point of view was, actually, I'm going to have a dig at him now. Not that I'm getting defensive, but he's posted a few things like Mercedes and this vitamin water. So it's kind of a weird comment, because he basically was saying that, like, if they would just focus on like the running and not the like the social stuff, the way, so he's basically saying he is only committed to being the best possible version of the runner that he can be, right? Chasing that maximum potential. And that's the point I'm trying to make within this 5 minutes of trying to explain something quite small. But my whole thing was always use the Olympics, you know, this massive thing, use that as your motivation. You're looking outside right now, it's raining, it's not looking nice outside, it's looking a bit doom and gloom, but we have the Olympics, Stephen, so, you know, get out there and get a run done, okay? Under that, like, psychology, what run do you think you go do this morning, right? You do the minimum run possible that would help you make the Olympics. Now, if your big goal was that you wanted to be able to complete a half marathon or a marathon, well, the run that you'd have to do this morning would be a lot less, perhaps, than I want to make the Olympics. So to make the Olympics is a big goal, a huge goal, but you're still limiting it to what it takes to achieve that goal. If your goal changed to win the Olympics, for example, well, then would you have to behave in a different way? Would you have to do things differently? Would that be a different run this morning? And when you change it and you reframe it to, I want to be the best runner that I can possibly be, okay? Then it's like, fuck, well, shit, what run do I have to do this morning now? And that's what I took from kind of what Jakob was saying, that it's like, don't try to train in a way that's going to help you achieve whatever sort of goal you've lined up. And I'm not saying don't have goals. I'm really not, because benchmarks are so important. They leapfrog you from, you know, one area of the sport when you're trying to break 3 hours, or you're trying to break 4 hours for a marathon, and suddenly you've brought that goal down to like 2 hours, 45 minutes, okay? But there should always have been this bigger goal, which is you want to do things right to get to a place that you're the best possible athlete that you can be, that you're seeing that potential in its best form. Because even though you've chipped away at, you know, 3 hours 15 and 3 hours and you've got yourself down, you still at the back of your mind were always treating this in a way that you're like, it's going to get to a place and a point where I'm going to be the best athlete that I can be, that I'm going to see how good could I really be. And that kind of changed things. So then it meant like you weren't doing the minimum amount anymore. You were doing likely just what it would take that day to really see, you know, how good can you be? Really see, you know, I don't know, can you run this time? Can you run that time? Can you achieve something you didn't think was possible? So I like that. I think you can see it in Jakob, that it's not so much linked to a per se goal or a time, or it's just, you know, if it was linked to a time, and let's say he was ahead of schedule, well, then he might not go on that next altitude camp, because it's like, well, I mean, all I wanted to do was run sub 3:30, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm well on course for that, so I probably don't need to go to, you know, this altitude camp. Where sometimes it's like, yeah, but this is about like maximum potential. So like, if the altitude camp would help, relevant to whether or not I'm way ahead by now, well, then I'm definitely going to go. There's no other option. Of course I would go. I want to see, you know, shit, if I can run 3:26, that's awesome. Whoa, let's go. And that's the reframing. So where have we got to now? Big summary. Thank you to the followers. Olympics wasn't great. Still would love to make the next Olympics, but only because it falls under the current agenda of how good can you be. So that is really a long way of saying the plan for January and February was to be the fittest and best shape I've ever been in. And I mean an all-round best shape, which right now it doesn't have the marathon focus yet. It still exists. And actually, when you work on everything else, your marathon stuff still gets better. What do I mean by all-round best shape? Call me, I don't know what you would call it, but I've been looking back. I've been seeing things that I used to be capable of. And I've been looking at it and thinking, I don't know if I could do that right now, which kind of kills me, because I'm kind of like, but you're better now. You're more experienced. You're faster now, right? It's like, so why can you not do that? And the why is because you don't devote time to improving that area. And so really all of January and February was not necessarily being able to do like a PB session for every kind of session. What I mean by that is like, I don't expect to go do like a speed session the fastest I've ever done it. I don't expect to go do, you know, hard, you know, tempo reps the absolute fastest I've ever been able to do them. But it was kind of that like, well, shit, you used to be able to go do 6 laps of Victoria Park at tempo at 4:45 and feel pretty good, you know, per mile. Well, you know, if it's currently 5 minutes, it's kind of like, that's a big amount of time that we want to get back. I'd like to be quite close to that, right? And then it's kind of like, you know, I checked yesterday, I'd went and done hill reps in Richmond Park, and I wanted to look and see, you know, well, what did I used to do these hills in? Am I close? You know, it's kind of like, and bear in mind, I've been a track runner, like 1500 meters, 3000 meters, you know, European indoors. So once upon a time, I've obviously been capable of doing these hills like a track runner, because that was the current goal. That was the current agenda. So way more time dedicated to that kind of skill. And it is a skill as well as a fitness. And I'm running those hill reps like I'm still that track runner, right? And the way I look at it is, if I can get a lot of those skills and sessions and parts of running back close to like my best self, not anybody else, I just look at it as, this body has been capable of doing this once upon a time. I believe it's capable now. We just have to do things to nurse it back to there. Wasn't my first hill session, it was my second. I'd been doing hill strides on a Monday, again to help the hill stuff. So there's always a plan to get something back by putting something else in place. It's not just I'm going to rock up to the hill and give it a go. But the way I looked at it was, if I could dedicate that time, January and February, to getting some of those assets back, I'd probably get to middle of February, end of February, like we're at right now, and think to myself, I'm in a pretty good spot. I'm in a pretty good spot that if I had to go race a 5K, I don't think I'd run my best ever, because I've done no specific preparation, right? By specific preparation, I mean 600s, 800s, maybe even 3 times a mile. Couple of sessions to really push it in that direction. But I'm probably only 3 sessions away from running my best ever, if that makes sense. Okay. I've got the K reps, the thresholdy type stuff, you know, I've got that back to a place where I'm like, shit, we're back to like 255 per K. It was 305 per K. I got the tempo stuff in Victoria Park before I left. I think my final one that I did was, you know, 5 miles or just over 5 miles. And I think I averaged 4:50 per mile. It's not 4:45, but it's likely that if I went back now and did 1 or 2, I'd be back to 4:45. And it's being in a spot where you're probably only a couple of sessions away from being in almost like, not peak, but close to it. Versus if we look back to the end of December, you're 8 weeks away. You're 8 sessions, you're 8 dedicated sessions away from being in that shape. And that's a lot. That you can't fix that quite quickly. Not fix it, you can't fine tune that quite quickly, would be a better way of saying it. So to make some sense of that, I love the kind of idea, you know, going into a gunfight with knives or just your fists. You want to go into the gunfight with, you know, the best possible gun that you have in the garage, if that's a thing. You just want to be the best prepared that you can possibly be. That's what this revolves around. And to me, being the best prepared I can be was working with the assets that I've been given. I started this a little bit about the Olympics, being a big boy, that kind of thing. And I'm tiny in the scheme of things. Trust me, this is not a weight issue or a concern. I just don't have a 26-inch waist and no shoulders. But I do have assets in terms of like power and strength. And that's why I was able to run 1,500 meters quite quickly, 3,000 meters quite quickly. And when I was playing rugby, I was able to compete and be the rugby player and run through people and run past people because of some speed. And so I'd probably let a lot of those skills diminish, kind of deteriorate would be a thing. And you might not think power and speed and sprinting and this sort of stuff is important for marathon, but it's just an asset. That's all you have to think of it as. And if you have the ability to you know, run 10 hills pretty good, and all you have to do is, you know, dedicate some time to it, sometimes it's worth having that, because you don't necessarily know the impact that'll have on other stuff. It's not going to negatively impact the other stuff unless there's a huge recovery period or you pick up a bit of an injury. But if you have strengths, it's very important to keep them. Probably if I could do 10 hills in almost call it like PB shape for those hills, you're probably going to find when I go do the marathon-y type stuff, I'm like, whew, this is easy, right? I might not be capable in that exact moment of holding it for a marathon, but isn't that still a good thing that the pace suddenly feels easy? Compared to recently, I've set off in marathons and I've been like, not loving this. I'm having to like push to run marathon pace. And that's because I devoted all this time to finishing the marathon off. So lots of longer stuff and sort of no time to the development of let's make the marathon pace feel easy. And that's like, it's not speed, like go to the track and sprint. But that's where the long tempos came in. That's where getting those K reps back to 255 and not 305. If you look at that, I was at the start of January only able to run my, you know, 10 back K or whatever, literally almost a bloody marathon pace. And now you're 10 seconds per K quicker than marathon pace. So if I went to the track and I was going to do my Ks and I'm thinking I'm going to do them at 255 because that's when my lactate is between 2 and 3. And then there was a coach stood there and he went, no, actually, I want you to go 305 today. Of course, my brain would go, what? That's easy, right? But it wouldn't have 8 weeks ago because 305 was all I could kind of manage. That's the let's make it easy. And then now for 2 months, what do I have to do? I have to make sure that it stays not easy, but stays possible longer. So last week I did my first sort of marathon-y type, you know, 3x5K, and I have done other sort of sessions, like when I was in Portugal, instead of doing, you know, I it's no secret, I've done some of the, you know, if you can handle some of the double thresholdy type stuff, it plays a good role in what you're doing. It just maximizes how much time you can spend at some of these good intensities. As long as you're still doing, I've joked about it on Strava and I've said, don't neglect VO2. And I did just do a video on that on YouTube because you do need to keep that ceiling is what we'd call it. I like ceiling because you can see the ceiling of your bedroom, room, whatever house. As that gets higher, that's your maximum speed and potential getting higher. And so what happens when you do too much threshold is, and not enough like VO2 or like aerobic power, 10K, 5K type effort, the ceiling comes down. So maximum potential goes down. And then yes, threshold does go higher, but you need to keep pushing both forward is what I would say. But I've been doing a lot of good stuff, a lot of good work, good training. Some days, instead of doing the double threshold morning and evening, I did it all in one go. I thought that was quite marathon-y versus like, you know, 5x2K in the morning, 8x K that night. I sort of did 2x5K and then maybe, you know, 5x a mile, all in the same session. So it was like 12 mile, 13 mile total, and no stopping. You know, once you're in the session, the recovery's jogging, that kind of thing. And so it felt closer to marathon than what a double threshold day might have, and more marathon specific. So I haven't totally neglected the marathon, but now all the skills that have developed that perhaps have needed one session a week, four sessions a week, that kind of thing. Suddenly it's like, well, now that we're going to bring in the marathon stuff, then you might only be able to dedicate one session every 2 weeks to VO2 max, for example. And that's one session every 2 weeks to maintain this level of VO2 that you've built. We might not necessarily at this stage be able to sort of dedicate one session per week to still push it higher, because look, there's only a certain amount of days in the week. VO2 requires a bit more recovery time. When you start doing the marathon specific sessions that, you know, let's say I move that to 4x5K with maybe 1K recovery, well, it's a bigger day. And so you might not be able to bounce back a day later or 2 days later and do another session. You might need 3 days because it's a bigger ask of the body, which requires more time on the other side for recovery. The other very important thing with like what I've been doing right now is cramming a lot of sessions into a short space of time. What needs to happen moving forward is less cramming and more, if I'm going to go to a park and I'm going to try to run a marathon-y type effort or pace, I don't want it to go bad because I'm just tired from the training, the previous training. So all of a sudden, recovery time between sessions becomes a bit more important, because it's a bit more important right now to know if you're in that good shape, you could say, to achieve the goal that you want to achieve. What happened over the previous 4 weeks, it didn't really matter. It was about maximizing time at really good intensities that would hopefully push things forward. What happens over the next 4, 6, 8 weeks is you really need to start seeing, am I not hitting marathon pace today, or is my effort level while running at marathon pace today, is it not in the right place because I'm just not there yet? Or is it not in the right place because, you know, I'm fucking tired from 2 sessions on Sunday and we're on Tuesday, right? And it's kind of like, now I'm confused. Well, you want to limit being confused. And if all that means is that you move a session to a day later, so that the weather's a bit better, so that your recovery's a bit better, well, then that's what you should do. The other benefit of moving things a bit further down the field or down the line, instead of Tuesday, Wednesday, instead of 1 recovery day, 2 recovery days, the benefit of that is that you can get on top of those little things like your gym work. My gym work has been non-existent for a month, not because I don't believe in gym, not because I don't think it's important. I'm trust me, when I go to physio, I'm feeling it that I'm not doing gym. Everything's sore. Everything's creeping in, little niggles, little injuries. And but where do you fit gym in? Do a week of running that you're doubling every day, and 2 of those days are double session days? It's kind of like, well, shit, I'm not going to do gym in between the double sessions. I'm certainly not going to go do gym having finished my 2nd session of the day. And then the next day I'm thinking, I've 2 runs to do and I've another double session day tomorrow. I don't really want to go to the gym. On the 3rd session day of that week, I do hills hard as I can. I don't want to go to gym after hills as hard as I can. It's tough. So like I've just said, when you then move things and you have this extra day, gym becomes that possibility. That's maybe the day for gym, or the day after the session, you're not going, I've got to go back out tomorrow and do more sessions. So you're thinking, yeah, I could go to gym today because tomorrow's another easy day and then I'll be ready to go again the day after. So I've covered quite a lot there. I'm going to call it. I don't even know what I'll name this one because, yeah, I've just covered a lot. I also posted about ketones, and I will talk about that more thoroughly on the next podcast, but I wanted to give an update first. So thanks again for listening. Enjoy your running. You know, it's an interesting old sport. I'll go back to, you know, questioning why I bother because I'm not a world champion yet. Joking. But yeah, take care. Thanks so much for listening. Bye bye now.